Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
I am JP Mosier.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I learned a fact this week that I thought I'd share, okay. And then I'm going to take it someplace. Please in do. 1944, anybody caught selling saffron in Bavaria was buried alive.
What?
In pretty extreme.
1944.
In, oh, no, 1444. I did not read that. I was so excited with my numbers.
Wow,
in
man.
1444, okay. Anybody caught selling saffron in Bavaria was buried alive.
Wow.
Question one, where is Bavaria? It's the largest state in...
It's
where Oktoberfest is held.
Oh, in Germany?
In Germany. Okay, Bavaria. Okay. So there you go. There's a geography for you guys.
Big fan of their cream pies.
There you go. Bavaria sure, cream pies. Nailed it.
Big fan.
Do you know which NBA All-Star is from Bavaria?
Any
German basketball player?
You know what? No.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from Bavaria. German Wunderkind is his nickname.
Okay.
Dirk was the fourth German NBA player. The other three, Ublab, Christian Welp, and everybody's favorite, Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef Schrempf was from Bavaria?
From Bavaria.
Oh, wow.
So we love us some Detlef Schrempf on here. So there you go. Number four, okay. How did we get here? Well, Saffron is the name of the lead singer of the band that we're speaking on today.
Yes.
And we actually have a little bit of an interview with her, and you guys are going to love her. She's so cool. She's not from Germany.
She's not.
She's from Nigeria, which is super cool. And even though Germany is 4,669 kilometers from Nigeria, see how I use kilometers and not miles, about 2,901 miles. This song is like our podcast and like Dirk Nowitzki and like Saffron. It's worldwide.
Worldwide.
This song is monster.
Yes. So yes.
This, we hope you guys enjoy this as much as we do.
Yes. This is one of my favorite hits from the 90s. It never stops pumping me up, and it never stops pumping the world up.
We'll
talk about it in a little bit. But this is Ready to Go by Republica. Hope you're ready.
Oh, they're not ready.
No. You can't be ready. Even when you're ready, you can't be.
Gonna hit you in the face.
This guitar tone.
Ready to go.
Not the acoustic so much.
I was like,
wait for it.
Ready to go.
Here we go. Those chords, those are power chords, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
that riff is just so monster. Good. Absolutely monster riff. That is Ready to Go by Republica from the 1996 album Republica. It went to number 56 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 36 on the mainstream Top 40, number 7 on the U.S. Alternative Songs chart, and number 20 all over Europe and the U.K., where it's still a big hit to this day. And you've probably heard the song, if you don't remember the song from the radio, if you're too young for that, or you were into country at the time, whatever, you've heard this on dozens of commercials, ads, you know, it's
absolutely
just one of the all-time great hype songs. It's right up there with, like, y'all ready for this? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's jock jams level famous as a hype song.
That's good.
So, BuzzFeed listed it at number 37 in the 101 greatest dance songs of the 90s, which I'm a little offended by the way, because I don't like the dance music of the 90s. I'm not a big dance music guy to begin with. I don't consider this a dance song.
Okay.
I consider
it a rock song.
Electronic rock song. Yeah. Okay. A rock song with electronic elements. You know what I mean? I don't call this a dance song because when I think of most of these songs, they make me want to gag.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'll give you the top five on that list. By the way, number 37 on this list is nothing to sneeze at. It was one spot above The Power by Snap.
Okay.
I've got the power. And two spots above Whitney Houston's version of I'm Every Woman.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
okay.
It's right. It's a real contender. The top five on that list of greatest songs of dance songs of the 90s, this is according to BuzzFeed. Number five is a song that I'd literally never heard by Whitney Houston called It's Not Right, But It's Okay, the Thunderpuss mix, the specific mix. I'd never heard it. Number four, Another Night by Real McCoy.
Another night,
I hate that song. Okay. So much. There was a period just in the mid-90s where like dance was huge.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your Barbie girls and your LaBouche.
Okay, that was going to be a contender on my
–
That's LaBouche. Yeah, that's Be My Lover. And then they have the other one by them. Sweet Dreams of Rhythm and Dancing.
Ew!
I almost
punched you right in the kisser.
Right in the kisser.
You almost caught it.
Sweet Dreams of Dancing Through the
I haven't
night.
Heard that song since middle school. And it just brought up all sorts of weirdness in me, dude. I'm sorry. I almost punched you. Number three on that list was Groove Is in the Heart by D-Light.
Okay.
Which I don't consider a dance song either. That's a pop song, right? That's like a... It's not a dance song the same way these others are. You know what I mean? Number two is Rhythm of the Night by Corona.
Uh-huh.
No, thank you. No Corona. No. And number one is Finally by CeCe Peniston. You remember?
Finally.
We nailed that key.
We picked one. Just odd one.
AKA CeCe Peniston, AKA every middle school boy's favorite name to make fun of.
It's good.
Philanthropeniston. But anyway, this was number 37 on that list, Ready to Go by Republica. It is one of my favorite examples, and we've talked about this at least once before, I think, maybe on the Dire Straits episode, about the sound of a cocked wah. So this is another example of that, and I love it. When you put a wah pedal, we've talked about it before, it's a pedal that you use to sweep frequencies through a guitar, right? So you run a guitar into a wah pedal, and then between there and whatever pedals and your amp, it does an accentuated frequency boost and maybe a cut thing. And so it gives you this meow, meow, meow as you're doing your foot back and forth on it. But if you leave it in just one spot, it sort of grabs this unique harmonic sound, and it just sort of accentuates a certain set of frequencies at wherever you stop it in the up and down of the pedal. And so you can get some really unique sounds, especially once you add distortion to the mix by doing the cocked wah thing. And so the main riff from Money for Nothing by Dire Straits is a cocked wah sound that it's just a really unique sound. It's not wah, 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 but it's not just straight distorted guitar either. Mm-hmm. It's got this certain character that you can only do by that sort of filter sweep that a wah, provides.
And if you want more on that, go back and listen to our Money for Nothing episode on Dire of Straits.
Dire of Straits, yeah.
Season three, probably.
Gosh, I don't even know. I'm losing track now. It's been a while. We're 3 years into this thing at this point. So let me play that riff again so you can hear it. Anyway, it's just got some harmonic color to it that is not your standard sort of distortion sound. So I love that. It's one of my favorite examples of it. Just a great riff overall. Simple, but very cool. You know what I mean? Boom, boom, down, out, down, wow. And I love how that flat seven note has just some extra character on it and maybe even a little bit of a pinched harmonic as it's being played. Love that. Also ahead of its time, I feel like, with the mix of hard rock and electronica.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's got categorized as dance, because
they didn't know where to put it.
It's kind of something different at the time. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was legit heavy rock with these electronic elements and loops and, all that.
Definitely
kind of stuff.
Definitely cutting edge for 96 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so in your face. It's all energy, right? There's a couple spots in the song only where you get to breathe for a second. One of them is the very, very intro.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't even count, right? It's just pulling you in close, getting you to turn up the volume.
Exactly.
So that when
it's
the beat
such
drops,
a trick. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
It tricks you so good. You're all smiley and bouncing in a field and then bam.
Yeah. And then you get the hits right before the chorus that gives you 1 second to go, And then we're going again on the chorus. You know what I'm saying?
So catch your breath and jump in.
I love it. I love it. A little bit of theory on this, maybe.
Please go ahead.
Unless you got, I know you got a game. You want to do the game first?
We had some success last week with the Stump the Genius.
Okay.
So Rob got one. I'm not going to do the full version, but for the next couple of weeks, we may add this. You know, I like to do games, so we'll see if we can get this one in the mix. We'll give it another round, see what you think.
Okay. Stump the Genius. Stump the Genius. Stump the Genius. It's time to stump the genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. So this will be 96. So for those of y'all that didn't
listen,
Rob says he's going to tear this up.
Yeah.
So last week we did.
I got this.
We did a Rupert Holmes episode, and we did songs from 1980.
Yeah.
That I am. Anytime we do these games, I've said I kind of want Rob to do pretty well. This game is a new wrinkle where I am trying to stump Rob.
Yeah.
I don't want him to do as well. So I'm going to pick. I'm just going to do five songs that charted on Billboard in the top 100. I'm going to try to do most of them in the top 50 to make it more.
Wow. So I'm going to be kind of embarrassed if I don't know this.
It's okay.
96 is like my wheelhouse, you know?
So the concept is I'm going to play a song that I know the artist that I'm hoping Rob doesn't.
All right.
There's a bunch from 96 that I didn't know. Groove Theory had a song called Tell Me. I didn't know it. 3T had a song called Anything. Deborah Cox, Who Do You Love? So there's a bunch that I couldn't put those on there because I didn't know them.
Okay.
So I'll pick five that I know that I'm hoping Rob does not know the artist.
Okay.
So here we go. Here is number one. And let me see. I need to jump
not
in.
Number one on the Hot 100.
No, this is number one. He had the number 10 and the number 73 song.
Okay.
And I'm going to jump ahead 49 seconds here. Love you like me.
Oh, yeah.
You know this?
This is one of my least favorite artists of all time. That's Keith Sweat.
That is Keith Sweat. Oh, Rob out the gates.
I know that voice instantly.
Nobody, baby. Rob hates Keith Sweat.
Listen, if my soul was a chalkboard, Keith Sweat is the fingernails that scratch from the top right corner to the bottom left.
Well, I didn't have this one planned, but I feel like I should play this.
Oh, no,
okay,
thanks.
On we go. Here we go. Number two on the game.
This is the Bodines.
Closer to free. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you're not getting me on 96, dude.
Oh man, Rob, the genius is dominating. Okay, 2 for 2.
I always felt like the dude, I hope this isn't like wrong of me to say, I always felt like the lead singer of the Bodines looked like Danny from Hey Dude.
Remember, oh, Hey Dude.
You remember?
Yeah. Oh man, I love that.
Anyway.
Get along, little doggy.
Yeah.
Rawhide. Hey, dude. How many of y'all out there remember the TV show Hey, Dude?
Great show.
So
great
good.
Show.
It had the girl that married Ben Stiller.
That's right, yeah.
I don't remember her
whose name I cannot recall.
That's
but yes.
She's not in this game.
Christine.
I don't know.
Or was that her name on Hey, Dude?
I don't know.
Oh, I should know it. Okay, anyway. Go ahead.
She's in Dodgeball, too. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Genuine. Pony.
Oh, my goodness.
You think I don't know? Who do you think you're talking to right now?
It. 3 for 3.
Dude, I rode the bus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know these.
Ah, man. Okay. All right, here we go. Please get one, Mosier.
My lonely. Okay, okay.
Oh, please get me a point.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Oh, this is part of that stuff that I hated so much. Oh, man. It's like the Something Boys, right? It's
no.
No?
No, it's No Mercy.
No.
The number 26
no
song of
mercy.
That year. No Mercy. Finally getting JP a point.
I hated that so much.
All right, 3 for 4.
They played. Okay, so I used to do like the announcing for like school basketball games and stuff like that. You know, I'd be like, that's a foul on number 32. Right, I was that guy. So the playlist for like pregame was
all this
garbage nonsense that I hated.
Anyway, that's funny. I could see Rob doing that. That's good. Okay, here we go. Come on, Mosier. Man, I'm not feeling good about my chances now. I love this song.
It felt like spring. Oh, yeah. February morning. Oh, come on. In a courtyard, birds were singing your praise. Yeah. Who is it though?
Oh, come on, get Mosier a point. I'll give you enough time to get to the chorus.
As I lay me down to sleep. I can't get Natalie Imbruglia out of my head, and I know she's wrong.
Her other hit is It is a Sophie B. Hawkins.
There you go. Okay. All right. I'm not
Thank
sure I would have got
goodness.
There.
Okay.
Doggone it.
Mosier gets a point. All right, that's five. And then I guess we should probably play the number one song of the year for those of y'all that don't know who. Some of y'all may not know this artist. The number one song of the year. You'll hate the song. I don't know. You may not hate the song.
And we've talked about the number one song for Airplay for that year. We've interviewed J.R. Richards of Dishwalla.
Yep. This is the number one Billboard song. Let me jump ahead.
Why do I not recognize this immediately? Oh, never mind. I was hearing it with a different groove. Never mind.
Do you know the artist?
Yes.
Can we stump?
Well, I know it, this is the Bayside Boys remix, right?
This is the original.
Like. Oh, that's the original. Okay. Oh, who is it? Who is it?
Los Del Rio.
There you go, Los Del Rio. Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Okay. We
And the popular version was the Bayside Boys remix.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, cool, guys. All right. Well, good All job, right. Rob. Much better in 96 than 1980.
I feel like I got too overconfident. I came at you after about
three for three. And then kind of went, but you did very well. You did very well. Good job. Let's meet the band real quick, and then we'll jump into meeting one of the
Absolutely,
band.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band. Let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
All right, guys, we're going to briefly meet the band that played on this. This is going to be brief. I'm just basically going to give names and kind of a little bit of what they did, and then we'll let one of the actual members take us there.
Yeah.
David Barbarossa on drums. He was the drummer for Adam and the Ants and on the debut album Dirk Wears White Socks, and also played with Bow Wow Wow.
Yeah.
Not Little Bow Wow.
Not Little Bow Wow.
Completely different.
Bow Wow Wow, they had the 80s hit version. There's at least one person in every decade who makes a hit out of I Want Candy. In the 80s, it was Bow Wow Wow.
That's good. Good call. Tim Dorney and Andy Todd, the two original keyboard players. So they did a lot of other things with there, too. So they're the other two. And then Saffron, lead vocalist.
Yeah.
And as promised, we're going to give you guys a few minutes to get to meet her. We got to meet her. So nice.
Yeah. She was
so nice.
Like, full of joy. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in, like, talking to her over text and email before we got to interview her, we knew, like, she was going to be uniquely full of... She's just so bubbly. Like,
smile.
You know what I'm saying?
You will smile listening
to
her. It's impossible to have any kind of downer vibe when you're around Saffron.
And listen...
She's so kind.
If you were a teenager in 1996, you had definitely, 100%, you had a crush on Saffron.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Right? So, like, to get to talk to somebody that you
grew up crushing on, yeah, it was pretty neat.
That's cool, right?
She blew us kisses. Cool. It was kind of neat. I'm like, I'm going to tell 96 JP that I got a kiss blown by Saffron.
That's right, yeah. So she's great. I want to do one thing before we talk to her, and that's just talk a little bit of theory about this song.
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily think theory on, like, dance rock songs, but it's really interesting because the main riffs of this song, and this is on the chorus and the intro, it goes 1, 2, flat 6, 7, and that's a tritone jump from the 2 to the flat 6. So we're in the key of D, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're in D, E minor, and then from E minor to a B flat major, which is a tritone jump, which is a one half step below a perfect fifth. And it's just a real weird, that almost never happens unless you're doing we've talked about with Clark Beckham, a tritone substitution.
Mm-hmm.
But this happens, but it feels natural for some reason.
Or if you were ending the song, you could go B flat, C, D to resolve.
Right.
But you don't typically jump there.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't jump there from the 2 minor mm-hmm. to the flat 6. It's very unusual. And so the chords and the root notes do a tritone jump, but your brain doesn't mind for some reason. It doesn't sound off. And I think maybe that's because there's a natural tonality or a counter melody you're hearing underneath. And that's going, let's see if I can get the key in my head again. Boom, boom, boom. So, ready to go. So, like, here's your D, okay? And so the chords are going D, E, B flat. I can't even do it. I can't even make that tritone jump. Hold on. Let me play it. D, E, B flat, C, 1, 2, B flat, flat 6, flat 7. Okay. But I think your brain is carrying along this counter melody, okay? And I'll sing what I think your brain is doing, and it's very natural and even kind of soothing, okay?
Baby, I'm ready to go.
Bye. right? It's just carrying that. And your brain is going to what would be the fifth of the flat sixth and the fifth of the flat seven, which is a very natural sounding melodic progression.
Oh, I like that.
So I think there's that tonality that's making those things not sound weird. So, and the melody is really interesting too, because on the verse, you've got the first two lines that have this big scoop to kind of a really rounded, like flaccid third, if that's not a weird way to say that, that you couldn't really call major or minor. So you go, Yahweh, not God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where is it landing? And it never really lands. And then the third lines, she really nails that third. Right? And it's really unique. It goes hard major, giving you a major tonality in the melody over a minor backing from the band. Right.
Okay.
It's not super pronounced because the instruments back off in the verses. Mm-hmm. So you really just hear kind of the D on bottom, but it gives it this major tonality. And then in the chorus, the melody is carried by the fourth scale degree. So we're in D and the melody's here, which is really unique. That doesn't happen. And she stays on it, right? Uh-huh. It's a fact, I'm standing, right? And it's standing on the, and then when she gets to rooftop. Standing on the rooftop, shout it out, it really gives it kind of a sense of relief. And then even more so when they go, baby, I'm ready to go, and resolve to a big D major chord right there. It's just really unique, and it does something that it strings you along with tension for the relief of that D major chord. You know what I mean?
That's so good.
I love it. And now let's talk to the voice that did it.
That's right.
Let's talk to Saffron from Republica. Here we go. We'll be back after the end.
This is a great song, Pod Ab.
What's up, guys?
Howdy, everybody.
We want to tell you again about Patreon. If you're an extra miler,
ooh,
and you
want
to go
it.
The extra mile, that is the way that you can do it to show your support for the show. Go to patreon.com/greatsongpod. You can subscribe there and give your love to the show, and then we can, in return, give you our love in the form of some bonus goodies that you can't get anywhere else. We've got a growing archive of behind-the-scenes materials, weekly extra episodes.
You can ask the artist some questions yourself.
Man, can you imagine? You could talk to Elvis. We got an upcoming interview with Elvis. You're going to love it. You could be asking him what his favorite kind of sandwich is. But if you want to show us some love, just go to patreon.com, and you could do that there. Go to patreon.com/greatsongpod and subscribe, and you can get bonus goodies that you can only get there. Thank you so much for every single listen, every single download. But if you want to go the extra mile, go to patreon.com/greatsongpod.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we are here with Saffron from Republica. We are so excited, Saffron, to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm so excited to join you guys.
Outstanding. I got to say, when I talked to JP about doing the song Ready to Go, and it was one of those things that, you know how sometimes you'll have a song that you just haven't heard in a minute, and you hear it again, and you go, how could I have forgotten how much I love this song? That was what happened with us when we were like, I was like, dude, you remember that song Ready to Go? Let's do that one. He's like, yes, I love this song so much. So we're really excited to talk to you about it.
This is such a treat, Saffron. Thanks for hanging out with us.
No, it's such a treat for me because I was so excited because I happened to hear your show with David Wilcox. I was so impressed. I absolutely really enjoyed that whole interview with him. I love the fact you guys so passionate about songs, songwriters, artists, and music, and how much it means to people, you know, in their lives. And especially now at this time, it's so, so important. Obviously, for both of you guys to be friends and to have shared that love of music and your friendships together, I just think that the connection specifically at this time, connecting with people around the world, certainly for music to touch people, you know, in times of hardship, you know, and all, you know, the whole spectrum of emotions that are currently, you know, are touching everybody in the world. Thank you so much for having this show.
Well,
and having me on,
to.
I can't believe it. And thank you so much that my song and my band's song touch you guys.
Oh, we love it. We love it. And it's an important time for art. You know, it's like you said, it's a real time when, you know, artists need to be encouraged to keep making art right now because people need their art, you know, and it's
always,
sometimes you think, oh, I just make music, or I just, you know, we think we just make podcasts, but people go, you know,
you
never
know. Thank you for helping us through this time.
Right. You never know who you're touching with your art. So
that's really great that you've had that comeback. And absolutely, I feel it's so very important that art and music and radio and TV and every transmission, Joy Division, is so important, you know, to connect. You know, it touches people. I believe songs are immortals. They are forever. They're infinite. So once you make them alive, it's not about you. It's about the listener then. It's about who they touch. So they're like stardust. They're like things in the universe, you know, which will carry on, you know. You know, like light and sound move in the universe, and we see the moon or the sun, and you know, a sound or a light might touch us, but it might have touched another star 2,000 million years ago, right, or something like that. But it still touched us.
So yeah,
that's really, really important. The moment that you heard that song will always stay with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the song itself, Ready to Go. I would love to get your straight from you as far as the incarnation of the song, what it's about, what it means to you, and kind of how you came about the process of creating it.
Well, my band Republica, it's funny, years later, studying Wing Chun Kung Fu, my master, it's a Shaolin female form of martial art. It's about energies, and basically he taught me a Taoist way. Is you only realize something when you discover what you are not, or you see what or feel what you are not, then you know what you are. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's what music is. It's for certainly for me, you know, a great song or a great piece of music, it becomes part of you and who you are and what you are. And for me, my songwriting journey basically was, obviously learning to craft my own songs, being a teenager growing up and, you know, spending, you know, my wages as a teenager buying vinyl and being so excited on a Saturday and going around the record stores, you know, and, you know, find out all the credits and the artwork and who produced it. Those things are just so, so important.
Oh, that's our language. We love that stuff. Like, yeah, that's
you know, the lyrics and, you know, which studio that guy, you know, find you. I love all that stuff, you know. You know, that carried on, you know, to not just buying the records, to listening to radio late at night under the covers, you know, when I should have been doing my homework, listening to John Peel, legendary John Peel, who amazingly honoured Republica, who's the first ever radio DJ to play one of our songs. So thank you, John. That alone meant thing, for basically kids, you know, growing up, loving music so much that, you know, we wanted to make our own, you know, and we'd all been in other bands and, you know, we'd been basically on the acid house scene, which was 1988 in London, obviously came out of Detroit and Chicago, New York and Ibiza, but it was this whole new underground electronic dance movement. And certainly for people like ourselves who obviously were indie punks and who love obviously rock music as well, just loved all music, we sit for hours on our tour bus chatting about rockumentaries and about, you know, the history and the stories of how songs are made and the band and each member, all those things are just, the lyric, what it means to each and every person can be completely different, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And we just wanted to meld, see if we could meld this new electronica with the new technology that was open to normal people, you know. Obviously, before it was very commercialized, very manufactured music. We're on a lot of the radio stations, certainly in the UK, and certainly they weren't playing female fronted, not a lot of female fronted artists. So, especially, you know, it was quite a difficult mix to get across for them to listen, you know. We wanted to meld all those elements of the music that we loved into our own, you know. So basically, we, you know, like most bands, you know, got in a van and, you know, trawled up and down doing the clubs and the university circuits, buying our own equipment, making our own studio, buying lots of analog synthesizers, you know, and fiddling about basically, and writing our own tunes. And then eventually we thought, right, well, I think we're just kind of getting somewhere here, guys. Like, you know, we could, you know, but we really want to, like, you know, we want to be on Top of the Pops. We want to go to America. We want to have some hits. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we want to try and write some great songs now. Come on, you know, not just, you know, this is a track and this is this and this is an 8-minute remix. Yeah. Right. but actually it kind of, you know, harks back to the Zeppelins and the things that used to write 8-minute and Floyd and the, you know, Rush and the 8-minute. Right. Yeah, I do like a bit of prog as well, I will admit it, and I'm proud. Yeah. Even though I'm a punk rocker at heart. You know, that kind of, okay, let's get things together. And, you know, basically, Acid House really was also very much a huge social and cultural movement in Great Britain. I can't express how much, and I know that in the States it's kind of get over there now, that basically it was a huge scene, like punk, or every few years, you know, this is the thing. But it really did, you know, unite everybody, every colour, race, creed, background, you know, together in the clubs, you know, gay, straight, trans, everybody, to, you know, this similar type of music. And we wanted to get that kind of empowerment of togetherness, and, you know, also a female attitude, you know, mm-hmm. too, obviously. So when we got started writing, thinking, okay, let's write some huge anthemic choruses, let's have a go at that, because certainly in a lot of house records there's this huge, you know, this huge kind of build up to those drops to this big chorus. Yeah, you know, so we kind of used that, and we kind of thought, oh, we're kind of onto something here. And of course, the minute, you know, we got the line ready to go, right, that's it. Right, you know, it kind of like that's it. We're all ready to go, right? And at the time, we had our own studio in Hoxton Square in Shoreditch, and kind of next to us, you know, was Orbital, you know, the other side, you know, was the, you know, Matt Johnson, the and Zeke Manica from Orange Juice. So this melting pot, you know, of amazing people, the Strong Room Studio, well, Neil McClellan produced The Prodigy and my friends. And you know, there's all these amazing people. And it was a really exciting time, you know, Goldie's Metalheads Club was around the corner where drum and bass music, you know, and that whole scene was involved. And it was so exciting, and it was a real kind of war cry, you know, like, come on. And we were on the roof. So we used to kind of go across the rooftops. Actually, Zeke Manica, who was the drummer in a band called Orange Juice, with Edwin Collins and stuff, and I used to go down the ladder skylight on the rooftop. He used to make me a sandwich for lunch, and in our break of recording, and then every Tuesday night, he used to take me to play table football with Matt Johnson from the band The. Himself and Paul Webb from the band Talk Talk, who is the bass player, who you know, I'm a huge fan of all those bands of people who have absolute inspiration. Couldn't believe I was there playing table football with people every Tuesday.
We call that foosball here in the United States. Foosball, table football is foosball here for those of y'all that are listening.
Oh, foosball, okay. Yeah, and pool is snooker, right? Or it's that. But obviously, you know, you're saying about great songs and inspiration. I mean, and production certainly. You know, Colour of Spring, the production of that album of Talk Talk again. You know, electronic bass, and obviously Matt Johnson's other. You know, basically infected. Those first few albums really were so inspirational. You know, Simple Minds, Joy Division. You know, The Cure, New Order. You know, those fans as well.
It's funny that you mentioned The Cure because you're on their greatest hits album, right? You do Just Say Yes with Robert Smith. How was it working with Robert Smith, who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame not too long ago? That's awesome.
I know, isn't it? I know. I couldn't believe it because I got a phone call and my best friend, Gary Newman, and his wife, Gemma, and we were at a Smashing Pumpkins gig, and myself and Gemma were like, oh, there's Robert Smith and Mary. Oh, my God. And we were going, Gary. And Gary's really shy. We're like, oh, we've got to go and say hello. And it's like, oh, come on, Gary. And this is Gary Newman. He's like, oh, I'm really shy. I'm like, right, let's go over there.
You're telling me Gary Newman, the guy that does Cars, is shy? Gary Newman is shy?
And we're still fans. Music, we're like, hello, and we're like, really, what to say? And I actually was so overwhelmed because I really wanted to meet Mary too, as much as Robert, because she, obviously the inspiration, and they've been together since they were 14 years old, and she was so lovely, and I didn't really know what to say, and we were so overwhelmed, and then the story was that. Robert spoke to Mary and said, oh, I've written a duet. And she said, oh, you've never done that before. And he said, I don't know who to do it with. She went, Saffron, that lovely girl that we met. And she said, you should have been more talkative, Robert, on that. And he went, oh, I'm a little bit, I think he might have been a little bit shy. I'm not quite sure, but there was all these group of people, you know, with Billy Corgan, obviously, so it's me, myself, Gary Newman, Jeff Newman, Robert Smith, Mary Smith, Billy Corgan, going, hi, nice to meet you. I love you. you're the soundtrack of my life.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's how me and Rob would be too.
We're that way with all of our guests. We're like,
we totally geek out with everybody.
I he just phoned me. I don't know how he got my phone number. And the weirdest thing was, I dated someone called Robert Smith. And I said, what do you want? And he went, no, it's Robert Smith from
The Cure.
It's
a different Robert Smith.
It's the good one.
Oh, you know. Octave about three times higher. And right. Would you like to sing with me? Yes! when? Tomorrow? I mean, yes. And then, guys, all night, I was like, oh my God. I mean, like, this could change my whole life. But what? I sat on the stairs till 3:30 a.m., waiting for that CD that his tour manager was putting through the door, that I then had to learn the track and then go to the studio that day. All I could think of was, oh my God, what if he doesn't like it? You know, that would be so, you know, my whole heart, soul, body, and mind was like to make sure that I, you know, did the best possible performance I could. And thankfully, he, and I didn't know that he was going to be in the vocal booth with me.
Oh, wow.
So
you guys recorded together?
Next to each other, right. That's it. And it was just the most wonderful experience, guys. We got to do a music video and I got to be in The Cure. And we did a live gig in Paris together. And I can't explain, standing at the side of the stage, it was televised, listening to The Forest, Boys Don't Cry, Charlotte Sometimes, Lullaby, Just Like Heaven, I can go on and on and on. And I was thinking, oh, you've got to remember the lyrics to just say yes in a minute.
Yeah, don't go blank.
You mentioned awesome. You mentioned videos. So you guys have two different videos for Ready to Go. One of which you're like,
we have seven.
Seven! Holy cow! I just knew of two. Okay, so there's one that's like mega zoom where it's like zooming in super quick, and then there's one where you're playing video games. You're playing like a Sega Master System, I think you're or Sega Saturn. I'm sorry, I think you're playing Hang On or something like that.
Yeah.
Are you a video gamer? Are you into video games?
I was at that time.
You mentioned earlier too about Top of the Pops. You mentioned that those of us that are in the United States were not we didn't have the privilege of getting to experience the BBC and Top of the Pops. For those American listeners that we have, explain kind of what Top of the Pops is. I saw you guys do Drop Dead Gorgeous on there here recently, which would have been from like 97, but I did not get to grow up watching it. It's fantastic, by the way. You're a great live act, and I'll ask you about that later.
Thank you. Okay. Explain
what Top of the Pops is.
Yeah, I think that in England, there was there's been a history, thankfully, and certainly for ourselves, the BBC being the main and still is the main channel and the best station. Obviously, there's loads of other fantastic ones, as you guys know, in America, it's all different channels in this. We have a main one. And it really was, they produced such amazing, almost, going back to the 50s and the 60s, that kind of Friday or Saturday night music show. Okay, so to promote or, present new artists, and for us, the UK, chart, it's all about that. And Top of the Pops, so when I grew up, I used to basically listen to the radio and write down the entire top 40 of that week,
band,
every song. And then I'd watch Top of the Pops and see, and because they used to do a countdown, and then, you'd be so excited, what band will be playing tonight? And it was amazing because what it did, it gave a chance to say, watching a Buzzcock suddenly appear next to, to some other people, some commercial people. And it was just really such an important visual, sonic, but it was a national thing. People knew your song and who you were. And it wasn't just basically a commercial thing, if you understand me. So,
sure. So
it did give all the indie bands a real chance to be heard and to be seen.
That's really nice. JP wanted to ask you something about your live performance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen you guys. I saw you at the Reading Festival in 97, not live, but like on video at Rock Blast. Y'all are great live, and you're driven. I think the band is driven by your live energy on stage. What is a pregame? What do you do to get pregame, to get pumped for your live show? What's your pregame ritual look like? Because you bring the energy on the regular.
For me or for the boys?
Either way, give either side.
Various different alcoholic beverages.
Oh, okay.
Not for me, because I didn't drink alcohol till I was 43. Okay. My band did it for me. someone had to lead the charge, boys.
That's how you stay looking so young.
Bless you. I love you guys. Basically for me, obviously a vocal warm-up, which is so important, in various restrooms, shall I say.
Sure.
We call them toilet.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether that be a porter cabin or a dressing room or somewhere, a vocal warm-up. yeah, you know, Earth, Wind and Fire, Boogie Wonderland, actually, like for me, certainly on the US tour, I played that just before.
Okay, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good pregame song. We like that. That's good.
That is great. Love that. What, as far as writing, I'd like to know a little bit about your process. What inspires you? And when you get an idea to write about something, what's your process like?
Okay. Well, normally, because obviously we are such electronic geeks, and that whole everything for us is our foundation stones of electronica. So we have you know, a huge collection of synths and analog synths, and you know, a wall of synths. Right. And Tim Chorley is you know, executive decision for him to be at the wheel of that. And myself and Johnny's got his guitars, you know, but we're all there, and we all work together with all different ideas. But certainly, I work best, you know, if we build up the track first, and then we get the vibe, and we can then add guitars, you know, but we all, but, you know, over the years, if you know, we've been apart now or whatever, we you know, we always work together, but, you know, we could work, like I could go to Johnny's and we could come up with stuff, you know, things. But I think we normally work with building up a track and getting a vibe for it, you know, and then seeing what comes into our head. Or if, you know, or if we have ideas of a theme or an energy or something we, you know, we want to express.
Sure. Okay. So I'm curious, in the mid 90s, your recording process, when you're putting these tracks together, and even when you're in the studio, was it digital yet? Was everything digital yet? Or were you still using analog to be able to create all the loops and the synth parts? Or was it already in something like Pro Tools or something like that?
No. We were kind of the crossover. So our early stuff, literally, yeah, we were still having to do tape, cutting it.
Wow.
That whole, you know, process. Working on SSL and Neve desk.
Okay.
And then the flying faders and stuff came. Yeah, so, you know, as I said, with the music, with the technology. But obviously, we were learning our craft as well. So we were buying our own, and then Mackie desk we had, and buying our own outboard stuff as well. But then still using, say, analog synth, and still using that, but then, you know, making a modern twist and sound out of things. You know, not losing kind of a rawness, because we never wanted our stuff to sound even though it's synthesized, you know, we still wanted it to have a beating heart.
Yeah, wow. So you guys were sort of at the end of, you know, like I can open up my computer now and have a library of 50,000 loops available to me, and I can do anything I want with them. I can manipulate them and, you know, EQ sweeps and all these filters and all this stuff. And it's so easy now. But you guys were still doing it like the quote unquote old fashioned way. And
we were
and making it happen in the analog
and
world.
We'd never done it before.
Yeah.
So we really were.
Man, what a process.
Like, we were basically plugging in all sorts of things, making, you know, basically kind of like Robert Johnson making stuff.
That's awesome. Like, yes. The Robert Johnson,
you know,
of electronica.
You know, our friend like Gary Newman, he was exactly the same. You know, he's like, well, that button didn't actually work. Right. Like, how did you come up, you know, with that? And he said, well, I don't know, that button on the, that just didn't happen to work. He's just like, pressed another one, you know.
I love it. We've got one more question that we want to ask you before we let you go.
We've got something that we ask everybody that comes on, Saffron. We appreciate you for your time. It's been a lot of fun. So you're on tour, and you go into a gas station, what is your gas station snack food of choice? While you're thinking of it, I'll tell you mine so you can think on your answer. I get a Three Musketeers bar because I don't know if you know what that is. When I was growing up, my mom would say you could have any candy bar you want, and the Three Musketeers was the most ounces for the money. So I would get a Three Musketeers bar. What is your snack food of choice?
Yeah, well, what we used to do when we were on tour in the States, we used to have this competition of we used to have a bunting competition. Who could decorate their bunk on the tour bus the greatest? So every tour or every truck stop, we used to like all go around secretly and see if we can buy things and souvenirs for each state. And I won, obviously.
Of course.
But I got all Elvis stickers or and all little souvenirs of each state, fridge magnets, and nice. I put Elvis and Elvis and glitter and rock and roll stickers and every little fridge magnet you can buy in each state and city of all your wonderful places in your country.
Outstanding.
Okay, so
outstanding.
You would skip the food and just get swag, get
knickknacks,
get things.
Right?
Okay, let's go. Well, Saffron, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been a lot of fun. We appreciate your time.
Where can people find you online and on social media? And what can they find you doing right now? What have you got going on?
Okay, well, we've just released a deluxe special edition reissue album. It's a 3-disc CD. It's a 32-track, 3-album disc on Cherry Red Records, which is an amazing back catalogue label. It's a brilliant. Please, guys, go and check it out. It's a great record label in the UK. I spent a year collecting. We licensed all the tracks, and so it's got all the different versions, the mixes, the remixes of our song. Oh, cool. And I did all the logo and the artwork and everything, and that's available now on Cherry Red. You can find us on Republica official Facebook page. I'm at Staff Republica on Twitter, and we're republicamusic.co.uk, we're everywhere at it. I'm not everywhere. Good at that promotion thing, I am. I'm the queen, but I've got to start that Instagram thing. Is Twitter big in America still?
I better get back on it then.
we had a whole president elected off of it.
That's a good call, Rob.
But also, we've just finished our new album, Damaged Gods, and we've worked with Admin the Ants guitarist Marco Peroni on a couple of tracks, Andy Gray, who wrote the theme music to Big Brother, and also a lot of tracks from Paul Oakenfold and the film soundtrack to Swordfish with Halle Berry and Hugh Jackman. And he's an amazing producer. And also, I've done a duet with actor John Malkovich.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Who wrote me a fan letter? I was really surprised. And he's doing a protest campaign that art and music are worth value, and which is going out on 7-inch vinyls. And the first one he released with Yoko Ono and Sean Lennon. We're really happy about that.
Thank you, Saffron. You've been so sweet.
Lots of love to you. And thank you so much. Bye bye. Bye bye.
There she was, ladies and gentlemen. That was Saffron. So cool to talk to her. I just can't, I know we say this every time, and you guys are probably sick of hearing us say it, but it blows our minds that we actually get to talk to these people that we grew up just loving and adoring their music.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Rob sent me this song. He's like, you remember Ready to Go? I was like, oh man, I love that song. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that. I was like, let's see if we can get her. And she responded back, and it was like so kind. And
yeah.
And so, I was like, how did this happen? I sent her a message, and she was nice. She's like, yeah, I'd love to come on the show.
Yeah.
She was like, I listened back through some of your other interviews.
That's right,
and it's like, whoa, she loves music.
Yeah.
She's she's great. So.
Yeah, it's really something special when somebody that we reach out to says, hey, I checked out the show and I really liked it.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and, you know what I mean? Let's
that makes
go forward.
That makes it that much better.
That's
like,
awesome.
I know what I'm getting into and I like it.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. Real quick before we go, I wanted to mention a few of the spots that this song, Ready to Go, has been used in film and TV and sports. Because it's one of those, like we said, it's one of those all-time hype songs. One of my personal favorites is Vegas Vacation.
Absolutely.
That's good. But this is like, okay, listen to all these.
When Audrey meets the Beatles, not the real Beatles.
Right. Yes, the fake Beatles, yes. That's an underrated movie for me. That's really, maybe, oh gosh, I don't want to. It might be in my top 10 comedies.
Really? Vegas Vacation?
Might be. Vegas Vacation.
I don't
might
even
be.
Put that. That's not even my favorite National Lampoon.
It's mine.
Really?
It's my favorite, yeah. Christmas is legendary. But there's something special about Vegas. Yeah. I don't know. I just love so many things
there's
about it.
There's not enough Cousin Eddie in Vegas for me.
Okay. You want more Eddie. All right. Okay. Listen to all these. Just in the 90s alone, okay? You got Vegas Vacation, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Baywatch. It does not get more 90s than having your song on Baywatch. You know what I'm saying? Right. Beverly Hills 90210, the original. Uh-huh. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's movie, Getting There. Come on, that's as 90s.
That's
I mean,
right.
It does, you know what I'm saying? 90s and then maybe early 2000s. I don't know for that movie. But yeah, if you were in a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie that's huge.
Yeah.
And then this is not 90s, but it's a 90s callback. It was in the trailer for Captain Marvel, which is set in the 90s, right? It's a period movie from the 90s, the Captain Marvel movie. So also because it's such an ultimate 90s song.
Yeah.
And it's one of the ultimate sporting event hype songs. It's been used in commercials for Major League Baseball and all these. Seriously, if you start naming one, you have to name 50 because so many teams use this as like a pregame hype, you know, across like all the major sports. And then in commercials and advertising and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. That's it. I don't know that we mentioned about Saffron before we talked to her. I know she mentioned a little bit about Robert from the Cars, but she has provided vocals for the UK hit Anthem by Enjoy. That was her first hit. And then she did tracks by The Prodigy. You remember Prodigy?
Yeah.
Talked a little bit about Prodigy in the interview. They had that. The big song on this side of the pond for them was Firestarter, which was just such a cool, weird, creepy, awesome song, right? And then Junkie XL, who is huge producer and songwriter, and then even The Cure, who she talked about. So I just think that's very cool. Wanted to make sure we give Saffron her due, that she is not, you know, some people might say one-hit wonder because you know this song.
Drop Dead Gorgeous charted pretty decent, too.
It did. And here's what I learned in my research is that Republica kind of got done wrong in the U.S. because their second album was never released here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Their label folded after their first album, and their catalog was absorbed by BMG, and BMG never released their second album, which was called Speed Ballads. It only got released in the U.K. at the time. So, but a deluxe edition of the original album, Republica, was released this year on Cherry Red Records. And so you can check out a lot of their stuff. Now it's all, you know, it's all streaming and stuff. So, so check it out. Dig deeper into Republica. Big shout out to Saffron.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Coming on the show. Thank you guys for listening. Hit us up on Facebook at the group Great Songs and the Great People Who Love Them Greatly. Or you can just go to facebook.com/groups/greatsongpod. You'll find us there. We have lots of fun. We do games and all kind of interactive things there. So take a listen invite a friend, enjoy yourself, come hang out with us. Hit us on Twitter and Instagram at Great Song Pod. Give us a follow there. And always, you can go to greatsongpodcast.com for archives, merch, and more. We'll be back next week with another great song as season 6 rolls along. Until then, I'm Rob.
I am JP.
Go listen to some music.